Chapter 1. The truth was they were a lot more competent than they seemed. In fact, that was the act. The one that made them readily forgettable and tended to give them a lot more access than would have been the case if they'd been weaker actors. Gazelle was the better of the two. Sal knew it. She knew it. She could sell herself as the dumbest farm girl what done ever fell off the back of the wagon with a veneer so seamless that you just didn't want to question her about anything. Sal was the tech-savvy one. He stayed away from people stuff and kept to the inanimate objects. After all, most of those couldn't pull the wool over his eyes. On the topic of wool, Gazelle could loom that fuzzy sheep product into quite the exotic tapestry. She had been eyeing the bored young museum security officer on and off for at least half an hour in preparation for hitting on him. She knew the plan bugged Sal, but in several ways that just made it all the more appealing. Part of the plan, indeed. Gazelle dressed the kind of sexy that said, "Look at me. But know that I'm looking back, and if anyone's being used, it's you, if I choose." She kept herself slim and made sure that a good amount of side or back skin was visible, and she had a way of looking at a guy that cut through the pretense quickly. She hadn't used that weapon yet. The way the guard was biting, she might not have to use it at all. She wanted what was in his pants. A keycard. Morton's Museum of Scavenged Antiquities wasn't Fort Knox. In all, sold to the right collectors, the place might have had a few $100,000 worth of items that, as their name more than implied, had been virtually scrounged up from sites where big messes had been summarily buried. No, not mass graves. At least, not intentionally. These were a broad band of artefacts loosely worthy of the title Americana, all of them having been dug, raked, pulled and clawed up from places where things had at least once gone to hell. Gazelle had scoped the place out well, making sure to swirl often to throw the pleats of her midi skirt out and give the guard a couple more inches of her upper legs to deliberately avoid ogling. She'd taken in the hardly staggering collections of various items that sat encased in glass top tables that seemed more valuable than most of what they contained. Spurs, pieces of riding crops, buckles. In other words, nothing worth selling to anyone she and Sal knew. They really only had one fence for anything in there. Sapridge. Had it not been for that oddball consignment man, they'd have been wasting their day bumping elbows with bored travellers stretching their legs on respites from long trips. But there were things in this tourist trap museum that Henry Sapridge would pay for. Apparently he had buyers, or at least could market them profitably somehow. Gazelle's memory was pretty good when it came to what was worth stealing, and knowing the payoff items, she was able to get a grocery list together during her sachet teas. Once she was sure she hadn't missed anything, she went over, gave Sal a peck on the cheek and turned to make eye contact with the guard. Sure enough, he'd been watching her. A sharp little smile manifested, and she forced it away before it became the vicious thing it truly was beyond those blue-black lips. Crossing the museum casually in his direction, she kept her gaze fixed on the guard, who was quite obviously working to avoid looking back at her. She slowed even more, coming straight on for him until she was so close that it was impossible for him to continue ignoring her. Still, trembling just a little, he did his best to glance around, acting like he wasn't noticing the sexy young woman who was flirting with him at little more than arm's length. "Your gun looks like it needs adjustment," she said. He couldn't avoid that.
"Excuse me, ma'am?"
he said, making eye contact at last.
"I said your gun is askew," she said.
"Room 19 at the Balsam, in case you're interested in getting it straightened by someone who knows how." She smiled and, sidestepping him, slipped past and out the museum's front doors into the bright afternoon sunshine. The guard looked around until he spied Sal, who deliberately had his back to the security officer and was standing near an old wall phone that had been recovered remarkably unblemished from a bar that had been levelled in a virtually town-consuming fire in the heyday of New Mexico's Luna Silver Mine. The guard eyed the skinny, loose-jointed kid, considered the sports car build of the presumed girlfriend who'd just come onto him, and decided to step outside. Gazelle was out in the lot smoking a cigarette.
"You can't do that out here," the guard said.
"You don't think this is enough air to disperse the smoke?" Gazelle said of the persistent breeze that tugged at the hem of her skirt.
I suppose you'll have to take me in and give me the third degree, because I'm not putting this out. I just lit it.
It's the rules, ma'am, the guard said. You follow all the rules? Gazelle said. She wasn't puffing on the cigarette, just holding it to the side of her head.
I don't know. I think some of them are pretty silly, don't you?
The guard looked her up and down, taking in her casual come-on posing. He descended the steps slowly and made his unhurried way over to her. Technically speaking, the museum was unguarded, but it was broad daylight. Brenda Higgins was in there greeting patrons and stamping hands, and besides, it wasn't exactly a bank. He grew a faintly lustful smile as he stopped and stood there looking into her eyes.
You don't like rules, huh? He said.
Is that why you're working so hard to cheat on your boyfriend?
He's my brother, Gazelle said.
You had your arm around him, the guard said. His surprise and instinctive revulsion was evident in his pinched-up features.
You kissed him?
On the cheek, Gazelle said with a casual toss of her head, grinning wickedly.
We've done a lot worse. We get bored, but it's kind of wrong, you know?
She moved right up to him, looking him up and down even as she surveyed the ongoing battle in his eyes between repulsion and either fascination or attraction. The drops she'd put in her own orbs moments earlier were dilating them, making the sunlight painful, but she needed the big pupils for effect.
I get a feeling you really want to do something wrong too. It's got to be pretty dull telling people to be good all day.
Mom, please don't touch that. Sir, please don't carry your son around piggyback inside the museum. Makes for a tedious day, I'd think.
Does it?
Huh? The guard nodded down at the plastic badge he wore over his uniform shirt pocket, which was basically at her eye level and as such right in her face.
Oh, Gazelle said as though she'd somehow never noticed.
Security Officer Winterson.
Hi, I'm Erica.
She used that name often, figuring it turned men on, like it's short for erotica.
Hi, Erica, Winterson said. Pleasure to meet you. Now will you please put that cigarette out, as this is a public facility and you're within...
He went mute. She'd reached out and taken hold of him in the least publicly acceptable spot on his body. She didn't keep her hand there, instead hanging on just long enough to make her point about who wanted what, and who was in charge of said what. She let go, stepped back, dropped the cigarette, and smirked as she crushed it under her shiny black heel. Huffing the last breath of it into Winterson's face, she pivoted on that same heel and strode stiffly off toward her car, to emphasise the tightness of her derriere. Winterson's hey stopped her just shy of the door handle. She spun around.
You just going to leave your brother here? He said.
He can find his way without a trail of breadcrumbs, Gazelle said. He's only a little dumb. She made a point of quickly getting into the car, although she didn't rush to close the door, instead buckling herself in first as it hung wide open. Winterson's shadow fell across her as she squirmed and adjusted the belt tension. She had him. She turned and looked up at him.
Which room number was that? He said.
She told him, closed the door, threw the Mustang in reverse and gunned the pedals so as to bolt back out of the parking space and make a quarter circle around him, stopping in position to make a straight run through the lot. With a final sly grin cast the guard's way out of her window, she floored it to make sure to produce a screech and hopefully leave a little rubber on the recently resurfaced asphalt. Checking him out in the rear view as she neared the street entrance, she saw Winterson still standing there watching her. That, she figured, should do the trick. Gazelle had no real way of knowing if her seduction would work, but she felt good about that one. She got back to the motel room, but not first.
You do him yet? Sal said.
Where? In the parking lot? Gazelle said. Quit moping. You didn't hear it from me when you spent an hour in that bathroom getting an inspection from Granny Goodfingers, the cocktail party heiress. It's not the same thing. You're right, it's not, Gazelle said, cutting him off. What did you get out of that, Sal? A piece of costume jewellery? We got 45 bucks for it. Was it worth it?
Sal knew better than to say. Well, it felt pretty good too, but he sure wanted to, spiteful as she'd managed to get him.
So he said nothing, he just shrugged. She did the same a moment later. You know, maybe I will end up sweating the sheets with him, she said. But it's really not the plan, Sal. I figured it might be worth about 20 grand to us to get him here and duplicate that card. But you know what? The guy's pretty hot. Who knows? Maybe he'll be good. Really good. Maybe I'll even like it. Maybe I'll run off with him. That turn you on? Stop it, Gazelle. No way, this is fun. You love thinking about what he and I are going to do when he shows up. Face it, you want to see me. I said stop it. Sal's temper was a hard thing to trigger. She was oddly glad to see it. Oh, she said with a giggle. I got you, didn't I?
Who cares? You're going to sleep with that scumbag just so he can get... Wait, how much did you say?
Gazelle grinned. Salvatore Manx was about the only person who wasn't afraid of her most ferocious smile. And in a way, she was right about him. He wasn't in her league, so he couldn't object if she had or wanted to play ball with others up in the majors from time to time. He was lucky she let him play at all. Had she the patience to learn the nuts and bolts of undoing nuts and bolts, the fundamentals of breaking and entering, she wouldn't have even needed him.
You really think you hooked a big dumb fish?
Sal said. She told him that Winterson had asked again for the number. The place closes at 5, she said. If he comes straight over, we've got an hour. They didn't have close to that. The doorbell rang about 5 minutes later.